There has been a huge movement in India, and maybe you've been following it. It's over invalidated examination results, which is a weird thing. I mean, when I hear that, what I don't know what to think about examination results. How can that lead to a movement? Anyway, I'll talk more about it as time allows later, but the opera over this has resulted in students and allies of students calling for Narendra Modi's administrator of education to step down. Modi is, of course, the prime minister of India, been there a long time. In response to some of the protests, India's highest judge called the youth organizers cockroaches, you know, which is kind of what we've seen with what, you know, Trump calling his opponents certain names. Authoritarians, dictators, fascists do this. They denigrate their opponents with horrible names. And one student, Abhijit Deepkai, I think I'm saying his name correctly, he responded to the insult on X by saying, quote, "What if the cockroaches marched?" And that's all it took to kick off a nationwide movement. That movement led to the formation of the Cockroach Party. And a few weeks later, the Indian Minister of Education, Dharmendra Pradhan, resigned. This is a big thing, because the government of Narendra Modi has been ruling with an iron fist. They've not been held accountable. They've not had to back down. But I want to read you something from the publication Waging Nonviolence. Quote, "For a movement that began online in May and grew into a nationwide agitation, forcing a cabinet minister from office was an unmistakable political concession." So again, Modi, not used to backing down, not used to losing, kind of like Trump, beginning everything his way, right? Except for the reflecting pool. Well, now the government of India has had to concede. And again, it seems like small stuff when I tell you examination results, but it's a big deal. Even though the government conceded and fired the education minister, about 100 protesters have been arrested. And despite assurances from the government, that wasn't going to happen. The demonstrators would not be punished. So the last time the Indian capital of Delhi saw a big mass movement of youth who were, again, opposing government policies, the state responded by naming the organizers in calling them conspirators. So, and two of those, quote, conspirators, Umar Khalid and Sharjil Imam, they have been held in jail, in prison, for more than 5 years. And they were again refused bail just last month. Anger against the government has been going on for a while. And yeah, this should sound familiar because, you know, like Modi, you know, Donald Trump, Stephen Miller, and others in the administration have become expert at demonizing the opposition. Last week, we talked about Stephen Miller calling protesters, quote, left-wing terrorists, and then imprisoning some with absurd sentences. I mean, sentences that will last more than their lifetime for incredibly minor offenses. And again, there were some who did some things that were, actually, in my opinion, and in most legal opinions, were deserving of punishment. But some of them were just there participating nonviolently, and yet they're getting these ridiculous sentences. So, yeah, I mean, this is what we see with authoritarians. They cannot tolerate criticism. They cannot tolerate protest. They cannot tolerate anything that implies a level of weakness. So, you know, like, as in the U.S., you know, we've got people like Stephen Miller who envision, I mean, come on, he's even said it, a white Christian nation, you know, in India. You know, Modi's party, the Bharatiya Janata Party, again, I hope I'm saying it right, that's a far right-wing Hindu party. And it has governed India since, 2014, I guess. It's been over 10 years now. The party is openly anti-Muslim. They've been able to maintain power a lot of times through fear, through oppression, and through offering some things to people that give them hope. Like again, I can see that Donald Trump has tapped into this wave of populism, this distrust of government, this desire for more local control. that, you know, that is rampant in our country. Even though he's doing the exact opposite of what people really want, he's got the language that has allowed him to achieve power. So again, same in India. And again, I'm no India expert, but from what I can see, the parallels are pretty hard to miss. So this is also from that same waging nonviolence story. For 5 weeks, Delhi police dealt with a protest that offered nothing conventional to target. There was no office to raid, no membership list to seize. The two things that allowed police to quell early movements were those: an office and a list, and key leaders. So on the morning of July 18th, again just a few weeks ago, the police went for one man everyone knew, a fellow named Sonam Wangchuk. He's an engineer, he's an educator, or an education reformer, I should say. He's from the northern part of the country, the Himalayas. He's 59, and he was 20 days into a hunger strike. He'd lost more than 18 pounds. Police came to the site of his protest in Delhi and removed him and took him to a hospital. Wangchuk has now become the most recognizable face in a movement that insisted it had no leader. He didn't, kind of accidental leadership. And after he was taken away, I think, and I remember seeing this in, the one thing about India I do know a good bit about is the work of Mahatma Gandhi. The English authorities at the time thought that if they remove Gandhi, then, you know, they'll be able to kind of squelch the movement. Well, here they removed Wangchuk, and instead of the movement going away, because he really wasn't the leader of it, more protesters than ever came to this location, this square in central Delhi. The square is just a half mile from India's parliament. And it's the only place in Delhi, interestingly, where a demonstration is permitted at all. And again, we see that in this country. This is not just under Republican presidents, but under Democratic presidents, to the free speech zones, the area where you're allowed to protest, usually somewhat removed from the location of the event you're protesting. So, and I don't know the geography of Delhi very well, but apparently the central place near India's parliament is where protests are allowed to occur. And so for 5 weeks, that became a tent city of students, parents who had spent their life savings on high-stakes test coaching, teachers, lawyers, a few farmers' unions, and a great many people in their 20s who had never protested before. Okay, so a little more background on this examination situation. So every year, there's about 2 million Indian teenagers. They take what's called the National Eligibility Entrance Test. They're hoping to be one of 130,000 that are granted undergraduate admission to a medical college. Again, 130,000 out of 2 million. That's a tough one. So towns, entire villages get together to coach kids for the exam. And the exam happens in May. And this year, 9 days after the exam, the government canceled the results over an alleged paper leak and told 2 million candidates to take it a second time. This is so, I mean, there is such intensity leading up to this that students died by suicide in the weeks that followed. And I don't know if there was any, I don't know the detail about the alleged leaks, but my guess is that it was bogus. I haven't dug that deep into this, but the exam itself is so intense, so much preparation, so much money spent on coaching the kid from your village you hope will go on to be a doctor, that it literally was, it was devastating. It was devastating financially to families. It was devastating emotionally and physically to students, to the point where several committed suicide. Basically, whenever there was a protest in Delhi at this place where protests were allowed, it only got taken seriously if the mainstream TV crews showed up. And so the people, the cockroaches, the people involved in the cockroach party, they decided that they would just film it themselves. They weren't going to wait for the TV, the mainstream TV stations, to take it seriously. They took it into their own hands. They live-streamed the speeches. They circulated their own footage of the police lines. And they followed up with independent reporters. The Cockroach Party called for a mile-long march to Parliament House on July 20th, again, just a couple weeks ago. That was the opening day of both monsoon season and Parliament. I don't know if those typically occur on the same day. But permission for that march was refused. And instead, the state responded by switching off mobile internet access around the site, closing metro stations, train stations, and putting up barricades. And more than 10,000 marched anyway. And a lot of that was anger over Wang Chuck, the Faster's removal. The placards, according to those who have reported on this, have stopped asking politely. One carried Education Minister Dharmendra Pradhan's photograph with the word resign across it. Since you are a government servant, you work for us, we pay your salary, we, the people of India, fire you. There are balloons tied together to the same hand that read grow a pair. I commend Indians for being so adept with English. This went on and on again. There were 180 protesters injured because the police fought back. 70 were detained. Several videos showed police attacking marchers. None have surfaced showing marchers attacking the police. You know, I suspect that Mahatma Gandhi would be very impressed, would be very proud of what's going on, that he would see the thread of nonviolent action that he helped spread well over 100 years ago, you know, blossoming today in response to a tyrannical government. You know, and it's kind of sad that India, which, again, gained its independence, mostly nonviolently in response to British imperialism, has now to deal with these problems. I guess that could be said about any country, including our own. It's a shame that a country, the USA, that responded to British tyranny here, now has a guy in the White House who is acting quite a bit like a tyrant. And again, I don't put the entire blame on Republicans or Donald Trump. I think both Democratic and Republican administrations have kind of paved the way for this level of consolidation within the administration. Anyway, so we'll see where this goes. This is fascinating to me, and I don't know. I don't think it's over. Not by a long shot. I do think we should be paying attention because I think we can learn a lot from what's happening. Again, it's nonviolent. It's disciplined, but it's also dispersed. There's not your one leader, your one you know, person that everybody goes to. And I suspect that Wang Chung, the Faster, will kind of at some point fade from prominence, and others will rise to prominence for whatever reason. And I think that's a good thing for the movement. And I think, again, that they have a chance to really turn things around in India. So when the Cockroach Party succeeded in getting rid of the education minister, they posted four words: cockroaches won, democracy won.